Hello, good evening. How are you? This is Nicolette Watson, and you are listening to the Your Best School podcast. I hope everyone's having a terrific week. I am absolutely thrilled to have you back here again. We've got some fun stuff to talk about, so go ahead and grab yourself a drink and a snickety snack and make yourself comfortable. I am enjoying this lovely coffee porter from Real Ale. It is made with Cat's Coffee. I'm usually more of a higher ABV dark beer kind of gal, like Old Rasputin, but this is good. I like it. It's good for the weather. It's starting to get kind of chilly here in Dallas, and I understand that, like, Dallas chili is a lot different than, you know, everywhere else in the country or world chili, but, you know, this is what we're working with. But, no, it's a solid little coffee porter. Definitely recommend it. What did we do this week? I mean, shit. I mean, we honestly didn't do much. Stayed at home. We watched some shows and documentaries. I got some cool new holiday decorations. I found a gem of a Krampus pillow on Amazon. It's this really cool red with Krampus on it carrying off a little kid. Our kids weirdly love it. Thank God. I definitely took a gamble on ordering that pillow. I got a new Yeti ornament for the tree. I need more Bigfoot stuff. Like, I need a hole in the head, but here we are. New Yeti ornament in tow. We did manage to finish The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, and I'll be honest, I don't historically scare too easily. I did my time working in haunted houses, you know, during season, and I can hold my own with, like, jump scares and really gory movies, but, I mean, this show kind of scares the shit out of me. Like, every episode was so suspenseful and, like, honestly, like, just fucking really dark. Probably because it's a lot of stuff with kids. I don't know. I do know it's really scary, especially for something on Netflix. I'm used to watching, like, Storybots and, like, Cocomelon on Netflix. And if you don't know what those are, you know, lucky you. But, yeah, Netflix definitely scared me with The Hill House. And, you know, I don't want to spoil anything if you haven't seen it yet. But basically, there's this family. They move into and they renovate homes, like, as their career. And they're saving up to, you know, build this, you know, dream forever home of theirs. And the one they move into to renovate ends up being this big old haunted mess with a really crazy history. And the show bounces around a lot between timelines. It's one of those kind of shows with the adult children and, you know, flashbacks. And it's really brilliant the way they do it, but it's very, very scary. Like, I would be scared to walk down the hall at night after watching it. Like, we would turn it on after the kids went to bed and Joe would start kind of dozing off. You know, he's been working all day, you know, and I'd be like shaking him, like, okay, like, wake up, because I'm too freaked out to watch it alone. And he'd be like, no, babe, it's fine. Like, it's fine. Go ahead and watch it. I'll catch up on the episode later. You just watch your show. And I'd be like, yeah, like, totally not for sure. I'm not scared. Like, go for it. And then there'd be some crazy jump scare or a ghost or a poltergeist. And I'm like, nope, fuck that. Like, wake up and watch this with me. Like, I would have to turn on Parks and Rec or The Office or, like, literally anything else after watching Hill House, or I was not falling asleep that night. It's, you know, that level of scary for me. Again, this is unusual for me. I was having crazy dreams about it. You know, it really freaked me out. But now on Netflix, the next part is on, because this is an anthology. So the next part is called The Haunting of Bly Manor. And, like, frankly, I'm too chicken shit to start it. The trailer is freaking me out. Go watch the trailer. It's so creepy. I mean, I'm obviously gonna watch it, right? Like, I'm gonna watch it. The first one was so good. And, you know, drop me a line. If you've already started it, you know, let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if you think it is scarier than the first Hill House, and I will, you know, gauge accordingly how much lighting I need to watch it. But, you know, truly, I think it's probably going to be amazing, because the first one was so, so good. Speaking of haunted, I did get a new chair for my office this week. I was just flipping through Facebook. I opened up the other day the Facebook Marketplace portion, which I don't really, you know, get anything off of there. But I opened it up, and then right there's this black, high-backed, ornate old chair, and it's $20. And I'm like, okay, so either this is a ploy to lure in idiot thrifters like me to be, you know, murdered and dismembered, or this is the deal of a lifetime, but obviously I have to have this chair. I'm definitely willing to roll these dice in the form of Joe going to pick it up. Joe, on the other hand, he's a little more suspicious of the pricing of this chair. He doesn't exactly share my affinity for antique things, because as much as he loves horror movies and scary things, he's scared of getting, like, an actual ghost. I am not bound by such particular concerns, so I messaged the owner on Facebook, and the chair is somehow still available. And on the way out the door to get it, Joe's like, this shit better not be haunted, like, I'm telling you, Nicolette, like, so he leaves. He gets back with the chair, and, I mean, it is freaking gorgeous. It's heavy as shit. It's, you know, incredible condition, the really ornate little, like, feet legs, and I'll just post a picture of it. It's so nice. But, you know, it really doesn't make any sense that this chair was so cheap. So I asked Joe what the owner was like, what's the story with the chair, what was, you know, anything happened? And he says, well, you know, the guy told him it was his grandmother's old chair that his wife wanted him to get rid of because it's been taking up space in the garage, yada, yada, yada. So Joe asked the guy, you know, how does grandma feel about you getting rid of this chair? And he goes, oh, you know, she's passed away. She's no longer with us. So now Joe for sure does not want this chair because now there is the very real possibility of getting a pissed off granny ghost along with it. It's now more plausible, but you know, he's there, he's with the truck. I want this chair. And long story short, the chair is now in my study and I love it. However, I'm going to be honest and say that the first night we had it, I did have a dream where this woman was standing over the side of the bed looking at me and the girls. And I'm pretty sure it was a dream. Like I woke up, it was like 4 a.m. And it was one of those dreams where like you're dreaming it and you see something and you open your eyes and you're looking at the space in your room where the dream was happening, but obviously there's nothing there. So, you know, I'm going to tell myself to sleep at night that maybe this man's grandmother is just really happy. Someone is enjoying this chair and putting it to good use. And not that we're about to start experiencing, you know, crazy paranormal activity. Obviously, if that happens, you will be the first to know. In unusual news around the world, I was reading on an affiliate, a Fox 9 affiliate in Minnesota. They are saying that there has been a, quote, significant increase in sightings of UFOs in 2020, both in Minnesota and across the nation. Tom Mayhair, and I'm going to pause. I'm probably butchering your name, Tom. I know you're probably not going to hear this, but if you do, I'm really sorry. I tried. Tom Mayhair is the Minnesota director of MUFON. Now, MUFON is the Mutual UFO Network, if you're unfamiliar, and they and their 4,000 or so volunteers investigate sightings, you know, weird lights in the sky, activity around the world, not just in the United States. But anyways, according to Mr. Mayhair and his team, there have been nearly 100 sightings this year already, which is, you know, an increase from usual years. So this isn't just limited to Minnesota, right? Excuse me. So my husband a couple weeks ago texted me an article from News Talk 1290, and they are reporting multiple witnesses in Dallas. Now, Dallas is our closest major city. We're in a suburb of Dallas, but they're reporting multiple witnesses in Dallas on November 11th seeing strange lights, and I'll find a way to link it. But there's actually a video on this one on the News Talk 1290 page, and it's pretty compelling. The lights were reportedly witnessed by people in an 80-mile radius. And that's wild to me. And in the video, you know, it opens up, you see the video start, and someone is filming like the tree line in a neighborhood, and there's a house in the foreground, and you see these like four unmistakable glowing lights, and they're in this like diamond shape, like a synchronized diamond shape, and they're hovering. They move a little bit, but they're moving in a coordinated fashion, like they're separate objects, but they're still synchronized. So anyways, the lights float off behind some tree line out of sight, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I mean, that's crazy, but is that it? And then after like 35 seconds, holy shit, no, two more lights appear above this house, same glowing shape, and they start to flow, like kind of move in the direction of the four we saw before, and it's just honestly freaking nuts. So, you know, could it be quarantine? You know, just the general shit show that is, you know, 2020 getting to people? Yeah, like I'm not gonna, you know, discount that possibility. But, you know, I myself did have an experience in New Mexico, which I'll save for another episode, that, you know, I saw something in broad daylight with a witness for about half an hour that I couldn't explain. And that was way before this year. So, you know, looking at the video from Dallas, I'm not going to say there's no chance people aren't seeing something, you know, inexplicable by our standards. And, you know, if you've seen anything weird this year, definitely drop me a line at www.ghoulsbestfriend.com, or you can always email me at yourbestghoul@gmail.com, or, you know, send me a DM, slide in my DMs, as the kids say, you know, whatever works for you. But, you know, I did want to add, you know, general housekeeping. Make sure you hang around tonight till the end of the episode. I do have an announcement, not a UFO announcement, but, you know, hang around. I just wanted to, before I forget that. So after my first episode of my podcast, which I'm so grateful to all of y'all that listened, liked, subscribed, shared, gave me feedback. It's so meaningful to me. I figured no one would listen, and I'm just so blown away, you know, those of you that did. But I did have a few of y'all reach out with some ideas, and I really appreciate that. That helps me a lot. So my longtime friend, Paris, we knew each other in college. I've known her, you know, I'm far out of college now. I'm 33, but we've known each other a long time. And she reached out to me and told me that I needed to research her hometown. So tonight we're going to talk about haunted Jamestown, New York. Now, before I get started, I do want to share my sources really quick so I don't forget. I want to say thank you to hauntedplaces.org, ghostquest.net, trytoscaremy.com, New York Haunted House, and of course, you know, our good friend Wikipedia. Can't beat that for the historical facts. So Jamestown. Jamestown is located between Lake Erie and Allegheny National Forest. And if you've never been to Allegheny National Forest, give that a Google because it is so, it's just crazy. It's beautiful. It's like a painting. It reminds me of something out of a fairy tale book. There's probably witches and like candy cottages in that forest for sure. For sure. The U.S. Supreme Court Justice and Nuremberg Chief Prosecutor Robert H. Jackson is from Jamestown. Sounds good. He's a good dude. As is NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Jamestown is also the birthplace and final resting place of Lucille Ball. That's the town's claim to fame. And I grew up watching her. I'm sure many of y'all did too. And my friend Paris said that there are like murals and statues of her everywhere. If you look up the Lucy statue, she said to make sure you look up the old Lucy statue, which I guess was really creepy. Creepy enough that they talked about it on like some of the late night shows and ended up getting replaced with a really, really beautiful likeness of Lucille Ball in the town. Anyways, Jamestown was founded in 1810 and is fondly known as the Pearl City. So, haunted places. Sorry, sip of beer. Off of Moon Road, there is a place called Hollenbeck Cemetery. Hasn't been used since before the turn of the century. Now, despite there being only 25 graves, what this location may lack in size, it apparently makes up for in terms of paranormal activity. So, in 1995 at Hollenbeck Cemetery, some gravestones were stolen, which many speculate may be the cause of some of the activity. Which, I mean, yeah, I could see that pissing some people off. Witnesses have reported a woman in white, screams for help, knocking sounds, orbs, a headless horseman, and even the sound of disembodied babies crying. And as a parent to two babies, allow me to say, fuck that. That's a nope from me. I couldn't find a lot of details on this one, but Haunted Lucille Ball Theater is another location in Jamestown. This was founded in 1936. It's also had a lot of reports of ghostly apparitions and activity. And according to the New York Haunted Houses page, staff members report being alone in the building and hearing their names called from the library, and feeling a hand on their shoulders, but finding no one there after turning around. Pause. Just wondering, how fast would you quit that job if that happened to you? A hand on your shoulder. Like, I could deal with seeing some orbs, but the second I get touched, like, bye, job at the historical theater, I'm out. I mean, I guess if it was Lucy, that'd be pretty cool. I'd let that slide. Joe would definitely let that slide. He loves Lucy. Many witnesses report a male ghost that has been seen on the stage, in the practice room, and in the boiler room late at night as well, which I'm sure is totally unrelated to the groping. I'm just wondering, in a place like this, how do they decide which lucky SOB gets to go down and, like, mop the boiler room? Like, I'm wondering, is that how they haze new people? Because that's probably what I would do if I was a senior staff member there. The theater also has reports of cold chills being experienced by guests, objects going missing, and white lights appearing in photos. Now, if you're in the area, there is a Jamestown ghost tour you can take that has some, you know, pretty great reviews. You can check out the Lucille Ball Theater for yourself. If you've already been there, I definitely want to hear about it. Especially if you were grabbed by a spirit, I definitely want to hear about that as well. So, while I was looking into Jamestown and just like the county that it's located in general, I started doing a little rabbit holing, and I hope that means what I think it means, going down the rabbit hole, basically, and I came to the conclusion that the majority of New York is just haunted as shit. I mean, I'm getting the impression, like, you can't throw a rock without hitting a ghost up there. You've got the Hencoop Hollow Road Cemetery in Ellicottville. Their claim to fame are apparitions of several young children playing together, witnessed by pedestrians, which I'm taking to mean people walking along this road at night for whatever reason, in which case, like, y'all totally had it coming. You were definitely asking for this. In Green, New York, there's the Haunted Sherwood Hotel. That boasts not just one, but two haunted rooms. The spirit is believed to be that of a young woman who committed suicide by jumping. The other guests reported that despite the hotel being empty except for them, they were hearing the sounds of what they described as a party happening outside the room, like in the hallway. But, you know, of course, they go and look and there's no one there. So they were pissed. They were like, you know, keep it down, kids. So they go to complain to the troublemaker about the troublemakers to the hotel manager, who confirmed there was no other guests staying in the hotel. And I'd have to look at the name of the hotel because I've stayed so many places, but there was a hotel that I stayed in Chicago. God, it's got to have been like 6 years ago now. And it was like that as well. Like, we're the only people there, but I felt like I kept hearing stuff and just feeling like there were, you know, people outside the room, people watching me. But this was in February in Chicago. There was no one else traveling to stay near the Navy Pier at this time. But crazy people. So, and that hotel was reportedly haunted as well. So, you know, I feel you, guests at the Sherwood Hotel. I feel you. And they have two haunted rooms. It says room 207 and 209. So, you know, if you want to check that out for yourself, you know, knock your lights out. Back to haunted New York. So there's Guernsey Hollow in, I'm going to butcher it, Freesburg, New York. And it was created in the early 1800s. And it contains the graves of many children who fell victim to smallpox, which, I mean, that's like honestly more tragic than anything. But one particular legend stands out. The story goes that there was this local girl and she was murdered in the cemetery by townsfolk because, get this, she was annoying them, which to me feels like a bit of an overreaction. After she was buried there, there were other townsfolk who I assume weren't involved in the murder, and they went to bring flowers to her grave, and they claimed that they heard her giggling, and they saw the flowers they just laid down begin to levitate. Two other spirits at least have been reported at Guernsey Hollow, and they include that of a young boy. The website said that he likes to chase your shadow. I'm out right there. And an older woman who waits by the entrance before vanishing in a cloud of smoke. So Guernsey Hollow, Freesburg, New York. I'm going to go ahead and say, though, the creepiest one I came across, in my opinion, is a haunted Episcopal church in Poughkeepsie. And this might be because, you know, I grew up in the church, and the church that we would go to, you know, was quite old. I'm not sure exactly how old this one is, but, you know, maybe that's why it was extra creepy to me. I remember our church basement, like, always giving me the creeps. But this church is Christ Episcopal Church, and it's rumored to be haunted by the ghost of its former pastor, a man named Peter Cummings, and he passed away in the 1940s. So in addition to the pastor, parishioners report hearing disembodied laughter, seeing shadow figures, the spirit of a woman sitting in the pews during the service, you know, lights and sounds, you know, that kind of thing. But that's not the best part. This is the best part, and I quote, "Other churchgoers reported witnessing a man's decapitated head floating through the church." Can you even imagine a floating head? Like, that's pretty metal. Like, seriously, if you have a teenager who thinks church is lame, doesn't want to go, I would just open with that. Like, I don't want to go to church, man. Church is fucking lame. What? Are you sure? Because Ethel from the children's choir said she saw a severed head where they keep the communion crackers. So I don't know. Like, maybe that'll get him in the door. That's like, ugh, crazy. I could literally go on all night about the haunted places in New York because there are just so, so, so many. It's such an old part of the country. There's so much cool history there. And if you're itching for more, you want to go, you know, make sure you don't sleep tonight. The Buffalo News did a really great piece online, and it's 23 places in Western New York, sure to send us, 23 places in Western New York, sure to send a shiver down your spine. And that has everything from haunted ships, old houses, to abandoned asylums, which that's always, you know, a wild topic. I could do a whole episode on asylums. But yeah, that about wraps it up for, you know, New York tonight. I hope you had as much fun, you know, hearing about a couple of these places as I did reading about them. And I want to say a very special thank you to my dear friend Paris for suggesting her hometown of Jamestown. So about that announcement that I mentioned earlier, host Jeremiah Byron from the Bigfoot Society podcast has graciously invited me to join him as a guest on his show, and that's this Thursday night. And I cannot adequately express how flattered and excited I am. When I saw the message from him, I like leapt up. I was just so, so stoked. I couldn't believe I was seeing it. But Jeremiah and I are going to be chatting about creatures and cryptids, and I really, really hope you'll tune in. I'll post his information so you can, you know, find your way to his podcast and his Instagram. And I just want to say such a huge thank you to Jeremiah for this opportunity. I'm incredibly stoked to talk to you. And again, that's going to be on Thursday. And you can follow the Bigfoot Society podcast on Instagram at Bigfoot Society. And all right, yep, that's all I got tonight. I want to thank you so much for joining me. I want to thank you for all of your support. I've been having the best time doing this and the best time getting to know everybody and, you know, hearing your ideas. Please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to Your Best Ghoul wherever you get your podcasts. And I would love it if you followed me on Instagram at Your Best Ghoul. But yeah, I hope you have an amazing night. Be safe and keep it creepy.